Radio.com presents stories of mystery and intrigue, espionage and suspense. Hear tales of ticking time bombs, mysterious crime scenes, and cloak and dagger action. This is Relic Radio Thrillers.
National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. There is always the hunter and the hunted, the pursuer and the pursued. It may be the voice of authority or a race with death and destruction, the most relentless of the hunters. There are times when laughter is heard as counterpoint and moments when sheer terror is the theme. But always there is the chase. I've had two obsessions in my life. Two things I've wanted almost to the complete exclusion of everything else. One of them was wealth. Money enough to live like a prince. And the other was a woman. I've been chasing my phantom pot of gold ever since I can remember, and the more it eluded me, the more I ran after the mirage. Until one day, it became a reality. That was the day I met Barbara, the most beautiful creature I've ever seen on this earth. And that was also the day I started working as private secretary to Mr. Archibald Mitchell, president of the Intercontinental Banking Corporation, who also happened to be Barbara's husband. Mr. Mitchell's office. Just one moment, please. Sir?
Well, what is it, Preston?
There's a Mr. Richards outside to see you in regard to the Watson matter.
Tell him to take that up with Granville. I can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm. Ask Mr. Richards to see Mr. Granville, please. No, he's in conference right now. Oh, incidentally, I see that Mr. Richards hasn't made an appointment. His name isn't listed in my book. Now, make certain that no one disturbs Mr. Mitchell unless he's made a previous appointment. Yes, and please pass that information on to the other girls in the office.
Well, I see you're already taking charge of the office, in spite of the fact that you've only been with me for 6 hours.
6 hours and 20 minutes, sir. And if I'm to get any discipline out of the office staff, it's essential that I show my authority now. With your permission, of course.
Well, that's all right with me. That's why I hired you. Keep things moving around here and relieve me of unessential details.
I hope I'll fill your requirements, sir.
Preston? How old are you?
41, sir.
According to your employment certificate, you've had an excellent education. And your references are the best.
Thank you, sir.
How does it happen that a man of your background and intelligence... Well, it's not...
Were you going to ask, Mr. Mitchell, why a man of my education, background, and age has gone no further in his career than private secretary?
Well, something like that.
Perhaps I was never fortunate enough or wise enough to grasp the opportunity when I saw it.
Well, I didn't mean to be personal.
Well, it's quite all right, sir. I don't mind at all. Oh, excuse me, sir. Mr. Mitchell's office. Who? One moment. It's Mrs. Mitchell, sir.
Barbara, send her right in.
Please ask Mrs. Mitchell to come right in.
Well, you're in luck, Preston.
Oh, am I, sir?
You're going to meet the most wonderful and the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life. Well, we're virtually newlyweds, you know. We've only been married for 6 months.
Oh, really?
Come in, my dear, come in.
Roger, darling, I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Not at all, Barbara. This is an unexpected treat. this is Elliot Preston, my new secretary. Here's my wife, Mrs. Mitchell.
How do you do, Mrs. Mitchell?
Well, I'm very glad to know you. So nice to find that your secretary is male, Archie. Now I don't have to worry about some other woman stealing you away from me.
As if an old duffer like me is worth stealing.
I'm not going to take up too much of your time, darling. I just dropped by to hold you up.
Going to do a little shopping?
Well, I haven't a thing to wear for our weekend with the Radcliffes in Bermuda.
How much do you want?
$2,000 or $3,000 will do, sweet.
Preston, make out a check for $3,000, payable to Barbara Mitchell, and I'll sign it.
Yes, sir, certainly.
You know, you can make things a lot easier for yourself by simply opening up a few charge accounts.
Oh, I will. As soon as I get around to it.
Oh, you look ravishing today, Barbara.
Thank you, dear.
Every time I see you, I...
The check, sir?
Oh, thank you, Ellen.
Oh, you're a darling.
All right, there you are, Barbara.
Well, I'll be running along now. Mr. Preston, it's very nice to have met you.
The pleasure was mine, Mrs. Mitchell.
I'm sure we'll see each other again. Well, goodbye, Archie, and don't work too hard. Au revoir.
That was almost a year ago, and a year makes many changes. One of those changes was my relationship with Mrs. Barbara Mitchell.
Elliot, stop it, you fool!
Barbara, don't be coy with me, darling. I can't stand it.
Elliot.
I love you, darling, more than anything in the world.
More than anything, Elliot? Oh, I don't think so.
What do you mean?
You love money more, and so do I.
Do you?
Well, if I didn't, you think I'd allow myself to be chained to that old imbecile I married?
You don't care anything for him. It's me you love.
Well, I must admit you're fascinating, Elliot.
Then throw Mitchell over. Divorce him and marry me. what are you laughing about?
Well, surely you're not that naive, Elliot. Well, you don't make in a year what I spend in a day.
Yes, that's quite true.
Well, why don't you do something about it?
Do something?
If a man like Archie can become a multimillionaire, surely you can get ahead as well.
No, the time has passed for that. I've missed the boat.
You certainly have.
At any rate, I've got you.
Oh? Have you?
Mitchell will never find out about us. He's much too dense, and he trusts me implicitly.
Well, you don't think for a moment that I'm going to let this thing go on forever, Elliot.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean it's too risky. And I'm afraid we'll have to put an end to it now. Can't help it if you're broke, darling.
Barbara.
Yes?
Suppose Mitchell didn't stand between us.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I mean, suppose he became ill and died. Then what?
Then, my handsome darling, your marriage proposal might make some sense. And we'd have the time of our lives together with the money I'd inherit. But let's not be childish. Archie isn't young, but he's the healthiest thing I've ever seen. He's liable to outlive both of us.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Well, it's getting late, Elliot. Archie will be home very soon now. I think you better leave.
When will I see you again?
Never.
What?
Well, at least never alone anymore.
Barbara, you can't mean that.
What would I do, Elliot? I mean every word of it. Fun's fun, but the risk is becoming too great. Now, we're calling it a day. At least until Archie's health shows signs of undergoing a change.
When I left her, it was like leaving my last chance at really living. For months, I'd been under a delusion that it was going to last forever. Now it was over, and there was nothing. I remember wandering along the streets for hours that night, aimless and dejected. Finally, I did something I've rarely done in my life. I stepped into a small waterfront bar for a drink.
What'll you have, mister?
Scotch, please, and a little water on the side.
Right. Well, I guess she's getting ready to sail.
What?
The Ocean Queen for Europe.
Oh, I mean the boat.
Yeah?
I look for job, mister.
You're looking for what?
Job, to work.
I got no chops. Get out of here.
Well, then you give me a sandwich. I pay you when I have money.
I'll give you a sandwich. I'll give you a lumps, that's what. Now get out of here, you panhandling bum, before I throw you out.
You don't talk to me that way, mister.
No?
Nobody talk to Otto Holscher that way.
Why,
I'll kill you. I'll crush you like a bug.
The barkeep was a big man, but the man he had tried to strike was the most powerful human being I'd ever seen. He caught the barman with a grip of steel around his middle, then like some giant bear, he started to put pressure on in a hug that had the barkeep's eyes bugging out like a fish as he gasped for air. I could almost hear his ribs begin to crack one by one.
No! No, no, no! Stop! You'll kill him! Stop! Stop! Did you hear me?
Schweinhund! I tear him to pieces!
Call a cop. Come on, let's get out of here.
Before the barkeep could find the strength to move, I had the bear outside and into a cab, where I'd suddenly realized that this overgrown, stupid dolt was the answer to my dilemma. His name was Otto Horcher, and he was a seaman who jumped ship 2 weeks before. He was squat and thick-set with a low, sloping forehead and a filthy mat of hair. And as I questioned him, I became even more convinced that this sluggish, powerful brute with the mind of a child was just what I'd been waiting for. So, you're looking for a job, are you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kind of job?
I'd do anything. I'm strong. I can work hard.
Can you read or write?
Read? No. Write, I think. Maybe my name.
No, don't let it trouble you, Otto. With the work I have in mind, your qualifications are perfect. I took him to an all-night diner and bought him a meal, then brought him home to my flat. On the following day, I set him to work doing odd jobs around the apartment while I tried to arrange my plans. That afternoon in Mitchell's office, my plan suddenly crystallized. I have those Wickersham reports for you, Mr. Mitchell.
Oh, thank you, Preston. We're all tied up for the rest of the afternoon, aren't we?
I'm afraid so, sir.
I'll telephone my wife. Tell her I won't be home, Preston.
Very well, sir.
I'll need you this evening. I hope you won't mind staying here with me. Those reports must be checked before tomorrow.
No, I don't mind at all, Mr. Mitchell.
I don't know what I'd do without you, Preston. You're a great help to me.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to hear you say so. The office was empty by 6. And at 6:45, I excused myself for a short time, ostensibly to have a bite to eat. I walked across the street, stepped into a phone booth, and dialed my own number.
Yeah?
Otto, this is Mr. Preston.
Yeah, Mr. Preston, I've cleaned up the house for you.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. Otto, now look.
Huh?
I'm working late tonight at my office, and I forgot some papers. They're in an envelope on the top of my desk. I'd like you to bring them down to me. Take a cab. You'll find some change in the bureau drawer.
Yeah, Mr. Preston.
The address is... Oh, I forgot you can't write. Well, look, try to remember this.
Yeah?
Number 7 River Street, 3rd floor, room number 31. Got that?
7 River Street, room 31. Yeah, Mr. Preston, I remember.
And be sure to get there at 10 sharp. Not before, or you'll disturb me.
I remember.
Fine, Otto. 7 River Street, room 31, 10 o'clock sharp. I'd had only 4 hours in all to make my plans, but luckily I already owned an unregistered revolver. It was a German Luger, too, which made things even simpler. I went back to the office and worked quietly with Mitchell until 9:45. Then I slipped the gun from my pocket.
Well, I think we can call it an evening, Preston. What's that?
It's a revolver, Mr. Mitchell.
Now, look here, Preston. I can take a joke. But your sense of humor is on the morbid side. Stop pointing that thing at me. Behave yourself.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mitchell, but I'm going to kill you.
Have you gone insane?
Yes, I have. For your wife.
You idiot, put that gun down. You want me to call the police?
I'll call them myself after you've gone.
You have gone crazy.
When you die, your wife will have your money and I'll inherit both, Mr. Mitchell.
Does Barbara know about this?
No.
And do you think for one moment that you'll get away with this?
Oh, yes.
Well, then you're even madder than I imagined.
I'm sorry to do this, but it's the way things have turned out. Goodbye, Mr. Mitchell.
No, for heaven's sake, don't!
The first bullet went wide and hit him in the shoulder. The second went straight through the heart. Quickly, without disturbing the body, I removed his ring, watch, and wallet, then stepped behind the door just as it opened, and Otto walked into the office. For a moment, he stared stupidly at the body. Then, as he started to turn, I brought a heavy desk paperweight down across his stupid head and laid him out flat next to Mitchell. I took the Luger, wiped it clean of prints, then forced it into Otto's limp hand. I put the ring, the wallet, and the gloves in Otto's pocket, then walked to the telephone. Operator, get me police headquarters.
Precinct, Sergeant Prague speaking.
Sergeant, my name is Elliot Preston. I'm private secretary for Mr. Archibald Mitchell. He's been murdered, Sergeant.
Where are you calling from?
Mr. Mitchell's office. He's lying here on the floor next to the man who robbed and killed him. I managed to hit him with a paperweight and knock him out. Hurry, please. It's number 7 River Street, office number 31.
7 River, room 31. We'll be right over.
The rest was simple. Well, there was a trial, of course, but the circumstantial evidence was overwhelming, particularly after I testified for the state.
Mr. Preston, you say you never before saw the defendant, Otto Holcher.
No, sir.
You were a material witness. You heard the shots and found him bending over the body.
I had gone out of the office for some water, sir, and Otto Holcher's back was towards me as I returned. I managed to strike him with a paperweight before he could turn around and shoot me, too.
Liar! 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 I kill you, Yank!
His testimony in his own defense was a jumble of helpless denials, as I expected it to be. For he was much too stupid to know how to protect himself in any way. The trial only lasted 3 days, and I was present when he was sentenced. But when the judge gave him death in the electric chair, his eyes were on me. And if I ever saw a blind, maniacal hatred, I knew it was in Otto Holcher's heart.
Elliot, is that you?
Yes. Yes, Barbara. Well, it's over. They've sentenced him to the chair. He's to die in 3 weeks on the 22nd.
Well, I guess it's what he deserves.
Well, naturally, he murdered your husband, didn't he?
I know, but... But at the trial, I just couldn't help feeling sorry for him.
That's a ridiculous thing to say, Barbara.
Well, I wouldn't have felt that way if I didn't sense that he may have been innocent.
What?
What are you getting so angry about?
You virtually called me a perjurer and then asked why I'm angry?
Well, I didn't call you anything of the kind, Elliot. I know you were a witness to it all, but... Well, at the same time, you said you didn't actually see him fire the shots that killed Archibald.
I suppose you're sorry Mitchell's dead. You're actually disappointed about our being together finally.
Oh, don't be a fool, Elliot. Well, you know Archie never meant a thing in my life. Now I have you and his money. What more could I ask?
Well, then, let's not have any more sentimental drivel over an idiotic, homicidal maniac. Otto's getting just what he deserves, darling. The chair. And I, for one, will be very glad to see him get it. Yes, I was glad. I counted the days until Otto's execution. Somehow, I felt I wasn't really safe until he was out of the way. And as the execution day approached, I became more and more uneasy. Finally, the 22nd arrived. He was slated to die at 11 p.m. And a little before 10, I was in Barbara's suburban home, waiting.
Oh, I wish you'd stop pacing the floor that way, Elliot. You're making me nervous.
I'm sorry.
Why are you so upset?
Upset? Who's upset?
Well, you've been building yourself into a bundle of nerves for the past 2 weeks.
Well, after all, I was an important witness at the trial, largely responsible for Otto's conviction.
But still, you said you had no sympathy for him.
Oh, I haven't.
Well, I don't blame you. Not after the way he kept looking at you during the trial.
What do you mean?
If ever I saw hatred on a man's face and murder in his eyes, that poor fool had them both for you.
Yes. Yes, he does hate me, doesn't he? If he had the chance, he'd do just what he threatened to do, tear me limb from limb. But his last chance will be gone. About an hour from now.
Darling, all this talk and this waiting for an execution to take place, it's beginning to make you morbid. Come on, let's go dancing tonight.
No. No, not tonight, Barbara. Tonight I want to remain right where I am until it's over. The next hour dragged on and on with a sluggishness that almost drove me out of my mind. I watched the minutes tick away until my head ached and my eyes grew tired and strained. Finally, just as I thought I had reached the breaking point, the moment came. And it was over. Oh, it's after 11.
Thank goodness.
I feel much better already.
Do you?
Yes, it's finished. He's gone. There's nothing left to think about anymore. Except you and me. And all that lovely money.
Now you sound a little bit more like my boy. Well, if you won't go out, we'll have a little music and a drink right here. I'll put the radio on. You make some highballs.
Okay. Frankly, I could use a double scotch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program for a brief news announcement. Otto Holcher, convicted murderer who was to be executed in the state prison just a few minutes ago, made an astounding escape by overpowering three guards while being escorted from his prison cell to the execution chamber in another building. The details of this fantastic escape will be broadcast just as soon as they are received.
He's gotten away.
Our regular program continues.
No. It's all a mistake. News report is false. They couldn't have let him loose. Shut that radio off. No, I've got to get hold of myself. Mustn't get panicky.
You're frightened, aren't you?
But what do you expect? The fools. Do you realize what they've done? They've let an ape loose, a maddened gorilla. Otto's as strong as an ox, and he's only got one thing on his mind, me. He'll come after me. I know it, Barbara. He swore he would.
Well, the police will protect you, Ellie.
Yes, of course they will. Simple, isn't it? I'll just ask for police protection. I'll call them now.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I can't get a dial signal.
Here, let me try.
All right.
Well, the phone's not working, is it?
But it was working 2 hours ago.
Well, it was just some mechanical failure.
That has to happen at a time like this. The car. Barbara, we'll take your car. We'll drive into town to the nearest precinct.
All right.
Don't stand there like a stone image. Hurry, I haven't got a minute to lose. It was pitch dark outside as we stepped through the door and groped our way around to the garage. And as I walked, I tried to work out the time angle. The state's prison was half an hour away by car, and if Otto escaped an hour ago, he would have already had time to reach my apartment and discover I wasn't there. And thick as he was, he'd guess that I was at Barbara's. And granting him a stolen car, it would take him another half hour's drive to get here. Which meant that it was quite possible for Otto to arrive at any moment. Now what's the trouble?
Oh, I don't know. The car won't start.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, it must be the battery. The garage man told me to change it over a week ago, but I forgot.
You moron. You careless.
Don't talk to me that way, Elliot. I won't stand for it.
I'm sorry. Forgive me, Barbara, please. Let's go back inside the house. I'll think of something. How else can I get into town? Well, what about the neighbors? Can you borrow a car?
Well, I think the Howards are in, but they're over a mile from
here. Well, isn't there anyone nearer?
No, only in the summer. Those houses you see in the road are all closed down.
Wait a minute. Quiet.
Hmm? I don't hear anything.
No. No, I must have been mistaken. It's my nerves. Keep imagining things. Barbara, you've got to go over to those people and get help.
Alone at this hour?
Yes, I'm going to lock myself up inside the house.
Don't you think it would be wiser if you came with me?
No, he may be waiting out there.
Oh, but it's all right for me to go. You don't mind my risking my neck with Otto, do you?
He won't touch you, Barbara. Why should he hurt you? You didn't frame.
I didn't frame what, Elliot?
Nothing.
What were you going to say?
Nothing, I tell you.
Elliot, it was you who killed Archie.
Don't be ridiculous.
At the trial and after, you were so anxious to put that man in the chair. Archie's death wasn't enough for you. Having me and his money wasn't enough. You had to see that man die, and I wondered
why. Shut up!
Murder. I never realized you'd go that far. I never knew.
Shut up, I tell you! Where are you going?
You wanted me to get
no.
some help.
No! Stay here.
What?
Stay here. I want to talk to you. You wouldn't give me away, would you, Barbara?
Don't touch me, Elliot.
Why do you look at me that way? I did it for you, didn't I? I did it so we could be together always.
No, you did it for yourself, Elliot, and I want no part of it.
Oh, you want no part of it now, do you?
You're hurting me.
After everything I've done, you're brushing me off. You'll also tend me, I suppose.
You strangled me, Elliot.
What was that? Barbara! Barbara, come back! The lights. I must put out the lights. Otto was in the house. I knew he was in the house looking for me. I had to hide. I had to hide somewhere in the darkness until I got the chance to run. I put out the lights and waited, straining for the slightest sound. And then I heard him. It was Otto. Lumbering up the stairs, looking, searching for the man he hated. I was alone, with nothing to defend myself with, and my heart pounded till I thought it would burst. Then the door opened, and I saw his shadow standing there, knowing that I was cowering inside the room, actually seeing me in the dark like the animal he was. No, don't kill me, Otto! I'll tell the police the truth! I'll tell them I murdered Mitchell. I'll not confess I framed you, Otto. Don't kill me.
Hold yourself together, mister.
You're not Otto. You're a policeman.
Tried to reach you at home, Preston. And we thought Mrs. Mitchell might know where you were, but the phone wasn't working. So I came over here. We knew you'd be scared when you heard about Holcher. And we wanted to tell you he'd been picked up 10 minutes after his escape.
Otto? Picked up?
But from what I just heard you say, mister, we won't have to hold him very long. I think you've got a date to have a talk with the district attorney.
In the animal world, there is the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, cat and mouse. But who is to judge precisely which is the pursuer or the pursued as we enter the chase? The Chase was created and written for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Klee. Heard in the cast were Paul McGrath, Beverly Roberts, Wendell Holmes, Roger DeCoven, John Thomas, and Phil Sterling. The Chase is directed and transcribed by Fred Way. Fred Collins speaking. Next week, a frightened woman frantically tries to stop a juggernaut of death, which she herself has begun on The Chase.